The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I've been saying this every day for the last couple of weeks, but we have an awful lot of breaking news that is flying all about us as we begin here on The Dory Monson Show. About 1 hour from now, 1 o'clock our time, President Trump is expected to sign the $2.2 trillion stimulus bill that will help people who are unemployed, business owners who are out of work right now, and will start getting some money back in the hands of people who are hurting so desperately through absolutely no fault of their own. But we do have an agreement in Congress, and the president will sign that bill about 1 o'clock Seattle time this afternoon. We'll keep you posted on that. Wall Street's down about 477 points after a week of tremendous gains, but we'll see if the signing of that bill right as the market closes, if they have any late rally on Wall Street. Here locally, one of the things we're doing, you know, I'm holed up here at home, and I, like a lot of you, I love my family, but I'm starting to go a little stark raving mad here. And so I need to have some outside world come in. And so one of the things I decided last night is I'm going to just go through the contacts on my phone, people that I've lost touch with or haven't talked to for way too long, and I'm going to just keep in contact with my contacts during COVID. So we're starting a brand new feature because I thought, well, I can do that on the radio. I can do that, and then I won't have to waste my precious nap time in the other 21 hours of the day. And so we'll do that coming up next hour. A Seattle radio legend is going to be the first guest on Catching Up with My Contacts during COVID next hour here on the Dory Monson Show. So I think you'll enjoy that. I know I'm looking forward to it. So that's just some of the stuff that we have cooking this afternoon as we get going. But we begin with some very, very serious news. There is a bit of an I told you so here, and it is a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, I got an email last night from a community transit driver up in Snohomish County, and he said that it was with permission from the driver's family that he was contacting me, but he told me that one of their drivers passed away after being exposed to COVID-19. And the person who contacted me also said that this driver had been spit on by a passenger and then shortly thereafter tested positive and then had to go into the hospital, the ICU, and then passed away. And so, to get confirmation of this story, let me welcome to our conversation the president of the transit union up there in Snohomish County for community transit, Kathleen Custer, and the vice president, Danielle Julian. Thank you both, ladies, for coming on with me. I know this must be an incredibly difficult day for you.
It is. It's been very tragic and just absolutely awful. Yeah, heartbreaking.
No, I have not seen any other news coverage of this. Can we name the transit operator? I have his name in front of me. Are we allowed to do that?
So I have spoken with the family, and the family has authorized us to speak on their behalf. And the coach operator's name was Scott Ryan. He was an employee since 2015. He was a very good employee. He was a union representative. He was a shop steward for the union, and just a great guy.
Very beloved.
I'm looking at Scott's Facebook page, and he doesn't look like somebody who would fit the profile. You know, we've been told that the people at the greatest risk are over 60 with other underlying health conditions. Just from the photos I'm seeing on his Facebook page, he doesn't look like he was that old a guy.
No, he was 41. And we, you know, I don't know much of his medical history, but I do know that, you know, he was a young man, and I don't believe that he had any major underlying medical issues that he was dealing with.
Now, one of your drivers contacted me and said that Scott had been spit on by a passenger. Do you know if that's true?
I don't. So I haven't had any confirmation about, I've heard, you know, of course, rumors that he was spit on. I've also heard other, initially I heard rumors that there was a passenger that was spitting on the ground in the back of the bus. So I don't know how that morphed into him being spit on. But we just don't have any confirmation about that. But as you know, being a public transit operator, you know, people are board the bus and they spit on the ground. They, you know, I mean, it's kind of we're kind of exposed to all of that kind of stuff all the time, but I don't have any confirmation that he was actually spat upon.
And do we know about the chronology, Danielle, of how fast this progressed? Because what the driver who contacted me made it sound like from the exposure, which they claimed was from being spit on, I guess that's up in the air, but they claimed that from the exposure until Scott passing away was just incredibly fast.
Yeah, it was just a matter of days. You know, like Kathleen said, I don't think that we can necessarily 100% link the spitting incident to what happened. It may have been, but the union has very serious concerns about sanitation, about safety measures that could have been taken to protect all of our members. As you know, we've got a pretty severe outbreak at CT with 9 coach operators testing positive at this point.
Yes.
And so that's where our focus has really been, is with the agency and on improving working very diligently every day, morning till night, to work with the agencies to improve safety.
Well, Kathleen, I'm trying to figure out why Scott's death has not been reported elsewhere in the media, and that it took one of your drivers to contact me to have you on to confirm this, because this sounds like a huge bit of news that one of our local transit operators, and as Danielle just said, 9 CT drivers have tested positive, and now one has died from the COVID-19. This seems like incredibly significant news to me. Why is there somebody who is suppressing this news from getting out?
No, not at all. Actually, you know, we've been in contact with the Seattle Times and the Herald as of yesterday, probably 2 days ago, you know, letting them know what's happening. They've reached out to us. This is not anything that we are suppressing. The union has worked very, very hard to reach out to the membership on our Facebook page to let the membership know what the union has been trying to do over the last two plus weeks. We have had daily conference calls with the agencies, emails back and forth demanding that they, ensure that proper safety measures are put into place. We have asked that community transit commit to never send any operator out into the field with the proper safety supplies like wipes, hand sanitizer, gloves, and access to hand washing facilities.
I understand we have
demanded all of that, yeah.
And believe me, I was not accusing the union of suppressing it. I was wondering if there was somebody on the management side. And the reason I ask this is because I've been wondering for days, when we have the governor, the president, everybody in the medical community telling us that we should isolate as much as possible, it doesn't make sense to me that we have people congregating on our buses and our trains right now, which is the exact opposite of what they're telling us that we should do. Danielle, what's your thinking on all of that?
I would like to speak to that, actually, because that's been a huge concern of ours. And a main focus of the last couple of days of the work that Kathleen and I have been doing, the buses are crowded. Now they are boarding in the back door only. They're not collecting fare. So that encourages increased ridership. So our concern is there's no cordoning off of certain seats so that it promotes proper social distancing. It's not a safe environment. They need to post signs that say ride the bus for essential trips only. They need to cordon off certain seats. They need to limit the number of passengers on the bus. If we can't congregate together with, 10 people, that's not allowed. How are we having 30 people on a coach with no social distancing? That's not
right.
Okay.
And the agency's been made aware of it. And if Scott passed away because somebody spit on the bus, and we don't know, who that person is, but we do have a lot of people who are getting exposed in the homeless community, and they're the ones who are riding the bus in still
right.
great numbers, and mm-hmm. that puts your drivers at incredible risk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're very well aware of that. It's been a huge concern. The lack of safety
yeah.
equipment, the lack of streamlining the process to protect people, the real lack of communication and cooperation that we've had, we're doing our best, and this, getting this news out to the public, I think, is the proper next step.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to the president and vice president of the Transit Operators Union for Community Transit, Kathleen Custer, Danielle Julian. They are confirming for us that one of their drivers, Scott Ryan, has died from COVID-19 exposure, the first transit operator I'm aware of in our region. To die from that. And before I let you go, what more? Because I want to also pay tribute to Scott, who was out there doing his job, who was one of these great blue collar workers that we're always talking mm-hmm. about, our bus drivers, who was doing his job, probably knew he was doing it with greatly increased danger. Is there anything more that either of you can tell me about Scott Ryan?
Scott was a friend to all of his coworkers. He was a real family guy, and we're really just going to miss him.
I understand.
He was very beloved, and we want to say that all of the transit operators that are out there on the field are doing the same thing. They're showing up each day as critical infrastructure to make sure that people can get where they need to go. And we want to encourage you to think carefully if you need to get on that bus. Please ride for essential trips only. Protect our community and our coach operators.
I appreciate both of you coming on with me this afternoon. Thank you for telling me a little bit about Scott and the dangers all of your drivers are facing right now.
Thanks, Dory. Thank you.
Okay. You bet. The president and vice president of the Drivers Union, Kathleen Custer, Danielle Julian, and again, the driver who's now passed away, confirmed from COVID-19 exposure, Scott Ryan with Community Transit, something we all need to be aware of as you think about, as they just said, do you really need to take that bus trip? Do you really want to put yourself in that kind of exposure? Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Oh, and before I get to the next story, I do want to give the reply from Community Transit. We reached out to them as well, and they said, for your initial question about a rider who was intentionally spitting on bus drivers, we do not have any reports of any riders intentionally coughing, spitting, or sneezing on one of our employees. And then they did confirm the death of an employee, but they did not release the name. But as you just heard, here on the Dory Monson Show, the family did authorize the union to tell us that the driver's name, Scott Ryan, 41 years old, Community Transit driver for about 5 years. I'm looking at his Facebook page right now. Looked like not just a fun-loving guy, but somebody who had great He would always pay tribute to fallen law enforcement. He has the striped badges from Kittitas County and Cowlitz County on his Facebook page as well. So he always paid tribute to other public employees too. And so Scott Ryan, first confirmed casualty for one of our bus drivers from COVID-19. Again, I ask the question, Jay Inslee, why are the buses still operating when you are telling us that we have to congregate in groups of far less than 10, that if you see two or three people within 6 feet of each other, that we're doing it wrong, and yet the government is still running the buses and the trains? It makes no sense. And I know that your answer to all of that is, well, there are people who might need to get to doctor's appointments. Hey, the money you'd save if you shut down the trains and buses every single day, if somebody needs to get to a doctor's appointment and truly has no other way, then we'll pay for their Uber. The Uber drivers, they need gigs right now. But this congregating, in many cases, dozens of people together on the buses, when you're telling us that that's exactly what we're not supposed to be doing, it's insanity. And now one of the drivers has died, and it makes you wonder, you know, what kind of liability do we, the taxpayers, face when a government agency tells their workers, yeah, we're going to keep operating the buses and trains in a way that we know is dangerous because we're telling everybody else to live their life in a very dangerous way, or in a very different way, less dangerous way, I mean. And you keep operating it, one of the drivers dies. Do you think maybe there's some liability exposure for the families now going after the taxpayers? But this is where it's impossible to take our response seriously. And as positive as I tried to be early on, because I did think the early on shut down the restaurant and bars step was an important one, and I agreed with it. But the more Jay Inslee takes us down this path in this state, the more convoluted, confusing, contradicting the approaches are. Don't gather in groups. Get on a bus. We value everybody's safety, but we're going to put our government employees in a very dangerous situation. And they're not collecting fares. There's an enormous number, more than ever, of homeless people riding the buses. And you know that COVID-19 has undoubtedly hit the homeless population, but we'll just keep putting everyone at risk, and we'll just hope for the best. I mean, it truly is not just bizarre, but leadership has to, the one thing that inspires a lack of faith or confidence in leadership is when they are inconsistent. When they do things a million different ways just to appeal to their various constituencies. And oh man, I have a great example of that coming up next. Tell you what, let me take a quick timeout. That there is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Did you know that Jay Inslee and Donald Trump got into a huge spat yesterday? Neither one of them would name names, but I now have the details on what went down in a phone call between our governor and our president. Pretty amazing stuff. And I'll give you those details next here on the Dory Monson Show. I'll get to the Inslee versus Trump story in just a few minutes here. But we do have a live guest on the line that I'm going to get to right now. The president's approval rating of how he has been handling the COVID-19 disaster, and this has been a disaster, both health-wise and economically. But 60% in a brand new Gallup poll out this afternoon, 60% of Americans approve of the job President Trump is doing to battle the coronavirus epidemic. The media, they're not doing as well. In fact, the media has the lowest approval rating, how they've been covering this story. Only 44% of Americans approve of how the media is covering this. 55% disapprove. And I've said, I think our local media, for the most part, has done a pretty good, reasonable job. But for the media, you know, both locally and nationally, there's an awful lot of people where their only objective in being in the biz is to try to destroy the president. And so a couple of days ago, the NPR station in Seattle, KUOW, they said, we can't fact check the president's press conferences in real time, so we're going to stop carrying them. And I asked, do you fact check Jay Inslee's in real time when he lies on my show about not raising taxes? That was $7 billion in tax hikes ago. Or about, is our car tab money really going into escrow so it can be refunded to us if $30 tabs is upheld? The media has no interest in fact-checking Jay Inslee. But, oh my goodness, they got to fact-check Donald Trump. The reality is Trump's doing well, most in the media, especially in a place like KUOW, they just despise that. They despise that the president is doing well. And so they've decided they need to censor him. So in a rather extraordinary move, the Seattle Police Officers Guild, Mike Varell is the president, and he announced something in the wake of the KUOW censorship announcement. And Mike Varell from the Seattle Police Officers Guild joins me live here on the Dory Monson Show. Mike, twice in 1 week, man. I'm going to have to start giving you a co-host salary here.
That's funny. Happy to be here, Dory, and just talk about the public safety impacts of this virus and how it impacts our entire Seattle community in the region.
Yeah, and so you issued a statement and you said, if a radio station, especially a publicly subsidized station like KUOW, if they're going to censor the president's press conferences, what did you announce that you at the Police Officers Guild are going to do?
Well, our information is just public safety, period. I think for us to engage in partisan politics is going to be detrimental to our community since we serve the community. So we were concerned about what we perceived as being the information from medical professionals, such as Surgeon General and other medical professionals at the White House press briefing on COVID specifically. We were concerned that information was not being given from a public entity's perspective of not putting it on their airwaves, of being completely holding with information against the community at large. And our concern with this national pandemic crisis, because we serve the community, we are dedicated to professionally serving them on a daily basis, is that they were not getting any platform as pertains to public messaging due to that censorship. So we decided to broadcast the White House COVID press conference as it relates to the medical opinions of the professionals at that conference to provide updated information was critical to public safety. So we decided to join in, make sure the public has enough platform that they can hear that critical COVID information.
Yeah, and not to pat ourselves on the back, but here at Cairo Radio, we've carried all of the COVID task force briefings on a daily basis, live, commercial free. We also have carried Jay Inslee's press conferences live and commercial free. And, you know, there are people on our staff who have disagreements with Jay Inslee. There are people who have disagreements with President Trump. But it's our position as a radio station that right now, more than anything, we need to get as much information out to the public. And you are correct, Mike, in having people like Anthony Fauci and the Surgeon General and the other medical community members who are up there, and knowing what they're trying to do to try to slow things down, I just find it shocking that an NPR radio station has decided they're going to censor that from their listeners. It really is unbelievable to me.
I echo your sentiment, the shock of censoring critical medical information from the professionals like the Surgeon General that gives us up-to-date information as it pertains to COVID's impact in our community and our state and across the nation. So we saw this as an opportunity to further serve the public at large, to provide on behalf of the Seattle police officers that are answering those first responder calls every day, despite this COVID crisis, that we want to provide that platform to them as an additional service to say, listen, we're not going to engage in partisan politics here. And sadly, that's occurred from another entity. We want to provide a platform that provides the accurate medical information to the community. Because we serve the community, we do it every day on a professional basis, so we want to further that service.
Now, you've gotten a lot of national attention. I'm seeing a lot of national stories today about the Seattle Police Officers Guild's announcement of carrying these press conferences. You are in a city, Mike, where a lot of your government leaders and a lot of the people don't like the president. What kind of heat are you taking for having management?
Well, we would be causing a major problem if this organization engaged in partisan politics. That's not what we're here for. We're here to serve the public at large, despite of who's in office. I don't care if it's President Obama or President Trump. It doesn't matter to our members. What matters is this critical information for life safety issues based upon COVID and the medical response to it. To give accurate, updated information, we need all forms of media coverage on this, and we decided to engage and use our social media reach to reach anyone that was hindered by any lack of information sharing due to partisan politics. And we understand that we're in Seattle. We are in a beautifully, wonderfully diverse community that's very progressive, and we serve that community. For us to engage in partisan politics would create a divide in this community that we couldn't recover from. But we want to stay on point when it comes to public safety messaging, that we've got your back, and we provide any form of information that we need to give to you so we maintain and make sure that the community that we serve beautifully and professionally on a daily basis are safe and protected.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, that's the same perspective we have at Cairo Radio. We want to get everybody all the information from both sides of the spectrum. We'll let our listeners be their own gatekeeper. We're not going to be the censors, unlike KUOW, which, again, I think should be defunded. I think they should all be ashamed of themselves there. But I appreciate you making this a national issue now and focusing on how shameful they are with their decision. Mike, always great talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Okay, Dory. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. President of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, because they announced they're going to stream the president's COVID task force briefings. Some in the media will not. And that's because the president's approval ratings have gone up. I mean, it's so transparent and it's so disgusting. And it's also the reason why for so many in the media, their perspective has just gone crashing down in approval ratings. Okay, lots more to do. We'll get to that Trump versus Jay Inslee little battle. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm so mad at myself right now. Mike Solon from the Seattle Police Officers Guild has come on a couple of times this week, and I said the wrong last name when I was talking to him and introducing him. So my apologies to to Mike Solon, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, who is just on with us. Okay, I've got a lot of audio from this Trump-Inslee thing, so I'm going to slide that into the fastest 15 here. It looks like we are expecting President Trump at the top of the hour to sign the $2.2 billion emergency funding for American workers and businesses that have been so devastated by this coronavirus outbreak. And so we'll see if the president, but $2.2 trillion. And it is hard to wrap your brain around a number that large. So I think I've come up with a way. The average U.S. currency bill, you know, $1, $5, $10 bill, is 6.14 inches long. Okay, let me tell you how long it would have to be to make $2.2 trillion. Imagine if you had a $733 billion bill. If you taped those end to end, it would go 18.42 inches long to get to $2.2 trillion. I hope that helps put this gigantic number in perspective for you. By the way, you're probably wondering who's crafting these bills. Well, one of the people who had a voice was Democrat Haley Stevens from Michigan. And man, I trust this woman with
my
money.
We beam for our manufacturers who have no. I request 30 more seconds and because I rise before you, adorning
the
these.
The gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
Not for personal tension, but to encourage you to take
the gentlelady will suspend. The gentleman from Maryland is recognized. The gentlelady is out of order.
I yield the gentlelady 30 additional seconds.
The gentlewoman is recognized for an additional 30 seconds.
Cause of the servitude, sharing in the profession with those who have not come before you. Similar times of trying medical need, wars and flus pass. You will see darkness. You will be pushed. And our society needs you to stand together at this time. Our country loves you. To our doctors and our nurses, I wear these laces.
The gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman from Maryland is reserved. The gentleman from Texas is recognized. The gentleman from Texas is now recognized. The gentlelady from Michigan is out of order. The gentlelady from Michigan is out of order. The gentlelady from Michigan is no longer recognized. The gentlelady from Michigan is no longer recognized.
Yeah, I trust people like Democrat Haley Stevens of Michigan to have a voice in how our $2.2 trillion should be allocated. What a clown show. And there were a couple other examples like that. But I'll say, in the Senate, unanimous. There are 96 yes, 0 no's. The Democrats and the Republicans, bipartisan, said we got to do something for American workers and American businesses. And that's a rare note of bipartisanship. Fast 15, that's coming up next.